This is She is Radiant, a podcast to help you embrace motherhood in all its radiance. I'm Janaea. I'm a faith-filled woman, wife, and mom of three. I'm knee-deep in the mom thing with a very full house and loving every bit of it. Motherhood these days gets mixed reviews, so I'm here to give you mine. I'll shed light on all of it, my own experiences, trending topics, and conversations with like-minded women whom I admire. She is Radiant, and yes, I mean you. Hello, and welcome to She is Radiant, a podcast to help you embrace motherhood in all its radiance. I am Janaea McClure. I am so glad to have you here today, and I am just thrilled to be back for season two, season one, formerly known as Mama to Be Honest. If you've been around a while, you've stuck with me through many different phases. I'm so glad to be back. I wanted to bring a rebrand to the podcast, a little bit more of an identity. I've been praying on this a lot. And one day earlier this spring, it just kind of popped in my head after talking to God about it and really consulting Jesus about where I want this long form content to go in the form of a podcast. I really had a great time with Mama, to be honest, but I wanted to give my podcast a bit more of a meaning and symbolism. And She is Radiant just came up. So before we jump into it, we're just going to make today a little bit of an intro episode. I'm so glad you're here. This podcast is going to cover many different things. It's going to cover all things motherhood, current topics, trending topics. I'm going to have conversations with like-minded women whom I admire, my own experiences, and expanding on the conversations and the topics that I talk through on social media. So anywhere from pregnancy, postpartum, marriage, raising children, and all the challenges and the beauty that comes with motherhood. I have been in the motherhood game for almost 4.5 years now. My daughter just turned 4, so I've been pregnant for almost 5 years, which is crazy. The last 5 years of my life have been beautiful and wonderful, and I would say the most fulfilling. It's not always the most glamorous or happiest days, but I would say I have not found as much contentment or fulfillment in sacrifice that motherhood has brought me than I have in this season of my life now. And I do not take it for granted. Before we jump into episode one, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a better picture as to why She is Radiant. Why am I calling this podcast She is Radiant? If you know me well, you know that my faith is very important to me. And everything I do, every choice that I make, I do my best to always consult God and consult Him in every choice that I make for myself, for our family, with my husband, and for our children. What I've always wanted to really arrive at is who I feel the most myself in. What kind of woman do I want to be for my kids or for my friends or for my family? And I think growing up, I always had a little bit of I don't want to say insecurity, but I was always kind of looking for validation or clarity from different sources. What should I do next? What's the best decision to make? And I think now, coming into my 30s, I'm 32, I've never felt so more in tune with the consultation that I get from God and the clarity that that relationship has given me. And so where She is Radiant, I'm going to land this plane, I promise. Where She is Radiant comes from is from a proverb that really speaks to me. It's kind of how I've been anchoring myself to in the choices that I make and how I want to present myself in the world and the values that I want to stick to. So Proverbs 31 is the anchor to this entire rebrand, of this podcast, She is Radiant. So I would love to read to you, before we get started on episode one, the proverb that I live by and just the qualities that it talks about in a radiant woman and in a woman of honor. And I've noticed that in just reading this and memorizing it and looking at different parts of this proverb in my day to day, it's really helped ground me in the things that I choose to do, the choices that I make. And so I would love to share that with you. All right, Proverbs 31. And this is the Passion version of Proverbs 31. She is a woman of strength and mighty valor. She's full of wealth and wisdom. Her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the riches of victory. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not evil. She searches out continually to possess that which is pure and righteous. She delights in the work of her hands. She gives out revelation, truth, to feed others. Even in the night season, she arises and sets food on the table for hungry ones in her house and for others. She sets her heart upon a field and takes it as her own. She labors there to plant the living vines. She wraps herself in strength, might, and power in all her works. She tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished, no matter how dark the night. She is not afraid of tribulation, for all her household is covered in the dual garments of righteousness and grace. Her clothing is beautifully knit together, a purple gown of exquisite linen. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the latter days. Her teachings are filled with wisdom and kindness as loving instruction pours from her lips. She watches over the ways of her household and meets every need they have. Her sons and daughters arise in one accord to extol her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her in glowing terms. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you have ascended above them all. Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain, and so quickly fades. But this virtuous woman lives in the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity, so go ahead and give her credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateways of every city. So just a really powerful passage to me, and there's so many qualities that I feel like, I don't know, get lost in motherhood today or womanhood today. And just the most beautiful qualities come through that passage. And it's not just beauty in superficial things or features. It's strength, it's kindness, it's the ability to provide for others, it's hardworking, it's finding resources, it's being gentle and strong, and all the things that I've really loved coming into, not only as just a woman, but as a mother, and in finding these qualities in myself as I interact with my children and I discover myself a bit more and more in motherhood. Motherhood is not my entire identity, but it's really helped me come into who I want to be as a woman and as a friend and as a mom and as a wife. So I really wanted to bring that into the identity of this podcast. And I see qualities in every single person that I've interacted with on social media, all of my friends, and I look at those qualities and I admire them. And so I guess the point I want to get across through this podcast and this rebrand is you are radiant in every aspect of your life. And motherhood is most of the time not very glamorous, especially in this day and age. I feel like motherhood can get a little bit of a bad reputation. There are really unfortunate, messy sides of sacrifice that you have to, you know, give to raise your children, but there's a lot of beauty and fulfillment in there too. And I really want to focus on that and remind you on the other side of this that you are so radiant and you deserve to be celebrated. And there are so many challenges, so many ugly ones, so many messy ones and gross ones that you have to go through and just trudge through the mud of motherhood. Every single milestone you go through, every single challenge, every single night up, 3, 4, 5 times a night, it's hard. It's not glamorous, but I see your radiance through that. And I feel my own in this. And that's what I hope to kind of set the tone through this podcast, through that type of identity. So just wanted to give you a little background and to know it's not just a random name and a random adjective. I do see a lot of meaning behind this podcast name and this community that we've built on social media. So yeah, I hope that that speaks to you. And if you've stuck around for me to get to the actual beginning of episode 1, season 2 of She Is Radiant, thank you so much for sticking around. And I'm so glad you're here. All right, so let's jump into episode 1. We're not going to focus on a particular topic for the majority of this. We're going to do a little bit of an AMA. We're going to talk about my postpartum journey, part 3. I just had my third baby 5 months ago. But at first, I want to kind of jump into a little bit about myself. So if you're here, you're probably here through my social media. I have seen a lot of growth in my socials over the last, 3 or 4 months. And I am so grateful for it. If you've been around for a while, you know that I just kind of put myself out there on social media when my first son was born. And I called that page Mama to Be Honest, because I wanted it to be like a page for moms that they could come and like see all the honest parts of motherhood. And then I started actually learning what content creation was about. And then I, redid it to where it was just, my name. And then I started really just posting vlogs, tips and tricks. And I was just kind of posting to post what I was doing through my day. And over the last few months, I've just seen tremendous growth that I do not take for granted. I'm very excited about it because I am talking through things and recording things that I'm going through in this postpartum and pregnancy journey. We just had our last baby, and just the amount of women it's resonated with has been amazing. So if you're here and you're here through my social, thank you for being here. So a little bit about me. I'm Janaea. I grew up in California in a small town called Morro Bay, California. I currently live in the Bay Area. I have a husband. I've been married for, 7 years. And we've been together for 12 years, though, which is crazy to think. And a lot of reason why my socials blew up in the last few months is because I shared a little bit. I hopped on a trending topic, that CeeLo Green trending topic. I remember when I lost my mind, I shared a little bit about how we met and how I had literally found my husband. If you know what I'm talking about, if you don't, I'm sure you can go find it on my page. We've been together for 12 years. We knew very, very quickly that there was something different about each other, and we were so willing to kind of see where it goes. So my husband, Maurice, you've probably seen him a little bit in and out of my reels, but in my TikToks as well. But he is truly the best life partner that I could have ever asked for. He compliments me in every way, but like in the opposite way. So I'm very hot-headed, impatient. I've got a temper, and he's like total opposite of all of those things. So just to have found a husband and a father of my kids that really has the qualities that I need to bring an equally whole person to my whole person is wonderful. And I love him very much. We've got 3 kids. We have a daughter. She just turned 4. A son. He will be 3 in January. And then we just had our 3rd son, 3rd and 99% final. Okay. We're almost there. Like very, we keep having these conversations about, can we do a 4th? But then we'll have the majority of the days where we're questioning a 4th. We will quickly be reminded that we are stopping at 3. for something will just give us a sign that we are done at three. So I had my third baby. We had our third baby in April of this year. It is true what they say, that a third will make you want a fourth, because he is the chillest baby, or we are just the most prepared. So I know that it's so true that babies each have their own temperament. Kids just have very different temperaments, and sometimes you just have a harder infant than you do others, and sometimes you have harder toddlers than you do others. But he is just the most chill, joyful little guy, and we've had such a blessed postpartum experience. I've had a blessed postpartum experience compared to my first, which was definitely the hardest. I know it can be for a lot of women, it's the hardest experience, because it literally just hits you like a truck. You don't know what you're doing. If you're choosing to breastfeed, it is one of the hardest things to figure out that first time. You don't know pain like that first week of breastfeeding pain. It is wild. So yeah, we are on our third little baby bliss. He's already 5 months old. He'll be 6 months old in October. Time has just flown with this third experience. And it's really made me very emotional, because you love the highs of the newborn baby bliss and, you know, that infant bliss. And you're so excited to see them hit every single milestone. It is quite the feeling to know that this is the last time we'll be doing it. And that makes me kind of want to cling on to the, oh, like we can just do one more. We can just do one more. But, you know, we kind of reground ourselves and we think about, okay, what does that mean for my other kids? If we bring in another baby, can we really support them all adequately in the way that we would like to be supported as kids? My husband comes from a family of a lot of siblings. They're all fairly spread out, but I was an only child for the majority of my childhood until I was 15, 16 years old and my half brother was born. And so I kind of went into having kids thinking, you know, why not have a bunch of kids? Something that I had never really had in my household. I did have a lot of cousins, which was wonderful, and I love that dynamic. So yeah, we just knew we wanted to have at least two. And so we kept going and we're like, okay, we feel really complete with three. But you know, there are some days we're like, oh, if there were six of us, like six pairs of parents in this house that were just clones of us, we would probably have like 18 kids if we could and unlimited money, because these kids are so expensive. Just like the childcare and the food, it's so freaking expensive. A little bit more about me. I am a full-time corporate working mom. I don't want to say working mom, because every mom is a working mom. I always go back and forth as to whether I'm cut out for the stay-at-home, homeschool mom life. Not that those are two in the same, but or one in the same, but I always ask myself, is that something I could do? And a lot of the qualities I have, I get from my mom. I need to always be working on something, whether it's my own business or a corporate job or side projects. I always need something to keep myself busy. Going back to that passage, like I love working, and I'm not, you know, it's gotten to a point where it's been unhealthy and I needed to kind of scale it back a bit. But you know, I think if I stepped away from a corporate job in the future, I would probably just replace it with something else. I would, you know, scale up my personal businesses. So I do own, we do own a family-owned business. We have a business inspired by our kids. We have a baby essentials business. And then obviously my content creation that I love. I would definitely call it a passion project. So I love this. I love to work. And I truly think today's modern woman, it's a working woman. You're a working mom. In terms of the corporate working arena, I've worked in the tech industry for over 10 years, specifically in fintech. I do enjoy it. I enjoy my career very much. And I've only begun in the last several years to dabble in entrepreneurship. And so it's been a really great venture. And I love it. I love it so much. And I love being a mom. It's something that I never felt I would ever be fully prepared for. And I think that's the one piece of advice I always give to expecting moms, that you're never going to be ready. You're never going to feel ready. Even if it, you know, it's something you want, there's always the, you know, oh, I don't feel ready. I don't know when is the right time. There is no right time. The time that you have the baby is the right time. So if you are considering it and you know it's something you want to do, even if you don't feel ready, you will be ready. You will rise to the occasion, I promise you. And I think it is the biggest blessing of my life to be a mom and to figure out what this role is and to create an environment for your kids to thrive in and to see them come into themselves is so great. So emotional. All right. So let's talk a little bit about postpartum. I wanted to shed a little light on my postpartum experience compare it to kind of like my first postpartum experience where I was kind of, you know, hit by a bus. So we definitely felt the most prepared bringing Kenzo home, our third baby. But postpartum this time around has been, I think, the most blissful compared to all three of my postpartum journeys. And I think the fact that it's our third baby and we kind of know what to expect is it's a huge factor in it. But I also think just being fully out of the COVID cloud has been such, it's felt like the most normal, from labor and delivery to family support coming home from the hospital to breastfeeding support and meal train. And the fact that I'm able to have more people in my space, we just got off to a beautiful start compared to the prior two. And not to say that, you know, we didn't get through it, we did, but we felt the most prepared, the most supported, the most equipped this time around. I would say the one challenge that I did have this time compared to the prior two is breastfeeding was actually really tough the first couple of weeks. He had a really unsuccessful latch that would come in spurts. So he would latch and then he wouldn't latch. And then he would get really, really frustrated. And that would make me flustered. And I tell you, babies have just a sixth sense when it comes to how mom is feeling. Even like they can just sense the tension in your body. And the breastfeeding the first week of being home was really, really tough. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to be like a really poor breastfeeding journey for me? Because my last two actually went really, really smoothly, despite, you know, that first kind of few days of the nipple tenderness, and it's just so awful. But yeah, it took a little while for him to get his groove and for us to find, you know, a preferred positioning. And I was getting really in my head about it. But you know, one thing I always try to encourage people is just, you really, if you, as much as you can, you know, obviously don't push yourself off the ledge. But if you are at that point where you think that you can't do it, just push a little further. And maybe it'll get to that point. Because at one point I was like, man, do we just go to a bottle? And breastfeeding was really important to me. And I just kept trying. I kept asking for help. One thing I don't like to do is ask for help. And it's something that I'm really working on as I come into my 30s. And my lactation consultant really, really saved me, in particular, this postpartum experience. She made time for me whenever. I would send her an email. She'd get back to me in 20 minutes. She would make time for me on booked days. All of the questions that I had, she always had an answer for, or she would always try different things for me. If one thing doesn't work, I get discouraged. She would try many different things and say, try this. She gave me so many tricks. She dropped off a carrier at my home, like no questions asked. She was like, I want you to try carrying and nursing and doing this in nursing and trying this position. And just being surrounded by that amount of support, having sought it out, was tremendous this time around. And that if I don't think, I think if I had not done that, then I would not be sitting here being able to combo breastfeed and pump and have weekends exclusively breastfeeding, and I wouldn't have that successful journey. So, and always, you know, feel free to get a second opinion if you don't, you know, if you don't feel like you're getting the support from someone, or switch lactation consultants, because you really got to find someone that you're comfortable with and that you are comfortable asking all the dumb questions to. Because even my third time around, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I've never, you really learn something new every day, even in something you think that you've been through and it's not your first rodeo. Like, this is our third kid. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's not latching. What is going on? So that's been the one thing that was different compared to my first two, that in a challenging way. But sleeping has been great, you know, predictable. That kind of newborn stretch of figuring out how to sleep was hard, and we got through that, and we sleep trained around 3 months old. You know me, if you follow my stuff, you know that I'm a big sleep trainer. It'll be a topic in a future episode. So, you know, postpartum has been wonderful. And I say that with all of the understanding and humility and privilege in the world, because that first time, whoo, man, when you go into something unequipped and in such an isolated environment. So with my daughter, we were peak COVID, not like just germaphobe, anxiety about everything, about the just the most ridiculous things. But it made for a really tough postpartum experience. And then that just kind of seeped into every single part of being a new mom, into breastfeeding, into sleeping, into keeping up with, you know, all the stuff, all the appointments, and worrying about new things that we're not familiar with baby. So that was, yeah, I know some women go through their first time easily, and I'm like, man, I love that for you. It's hard. It's really hard. You know, kind of looking at my postpartum experience this time around with third baby, it's definitely been the one that's given me the most grace. And I think I've stepped into my confidence a bit. I'm very fortunate to be able to now speak confidently on different things through the postpartum experience that have helped a lot of people. And I want to keep going, and I want to keep learning and keep, you know, spitballing these little gems of information that I have. So that's a little bit of how postpartum's been going. And I'm a little all over the place today, but I want to mostly make this an intro episode. And then going into future episodes, I'll talk on certain other topics, and we'll go into those in depth. Let's go into a trending topic of the week, and then we'll jump into an AMA. So the trending topic of the week that I want to talk about is the collab between Nara Smith and Ballerina Farm, aka Hannah Nealeman, or Hannah Nealeman, aka Ballerina Farm. So these two ladies are social media influencers, they are mothers, they are wives, and they are kind of famous on the socials for good reasons and for bad reasons. And I personally love these two women. Their content is like very calming for me. And a lot of the content that they put out there really enrages people for really interesting reasons. But what I don't want to really go into like specific content that they do per se, but I do want to go into what they've been coined as and my take on what that means and if I agree with it. So Ballerina Farm, she cooks all of her meals from scratch. She and her husband have this beautiful plot of land in Utah. I think they're Mormon, but they've got a farm. They've got a lot of animals. They've got, I think, like 8 or 9 kids. But her biggest thing is doing everything from scratch. You know, she drinks raw milk. I don't think her kids, you know, don't have access to a lot of like technology, for example. They are homeschooled. And a lot of her content while it's very engaging, has gotten a lot of flack for those same exact reasons. And then Nara Smith, on the other hand, she is a model, a social media influencer, a mom of three. She's 22 years old, so very, very young. And her kind of famous content is making the most ridiculous things for her husband from scratch. So she made Coca-Cola from scratch. She made bubblegum from scratch. She's, she loves to cook. She makes skincare from scratch. And so the fact that, her videos are mostly about cooking for her husband and making these ridiculous things from scratch has also enraged a lot of people. And the voiceover that she uses is very calming. It's very sultry. It's very calming. And in my opinion, I think it's meant to be a bit satirical. While she does love to cook and she loves to care for her family and highlight those parts of her life that bring her joy. And for those same reasons, this type of content and these women bring me joy, and I love consuming their content. But what I want to talk about is the idea that these two women are quote unquote trad wives. And everyone says, oh, it's the collab of the trad wives. So they had gotten together and they had come together and their families met, and they met on their farm and they got together and took some photos, and everyone was just like, oh my gosh, it's the collab of the trad wives. And both of them have like flat out said, like, neither of us are trad wives. Everyone disagrees with the fact that they're saying that. And so I would like to provide my opinion. I, in fact, do not think either of these women are traditional in nature, because the word tradition, I think, is referencing a point in time that just was kind of a blip in the universe. You know, when you think about tradition, you're thinking about a housewife, you're thinking about someone who's kind of, you know, vacuuming in a dress while her husband is off at war or something. Neither of these women are that. And both of these women, I feel like, are probably the breadwinners in their family. They work full time. They're posting content every day. Posting content like that is not easy. Filming content like that is not easy. They're doing things like brand deals, and Ballerina Farm is selling product, and Nara is a working model. And so in my opinion, I don't think either of them are trad wives. While they might put out content that maybe like fetishizes the idea of being doting on your family. And so I think it's a little unfortunate that they've been labeled as such. I don't think anything that they're doing is traditional. Maybe they're rejecting the girl boss life, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're trad wives. I think there's so many nuances to motherhood today. Both of them particularly exude modern motherhood. They're on social media a lot, and they are putting the joys of their family out for the world to see. And I don't think there's anything traditional about that. So that's just my little take. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Drop them in the comments below. All right. Now let's get to some AMA for the closeout of our episode today. So the first question comes from LopezFam1221. When do you start feeding your babies solids? This is a great question. So usually people will say the 6-month mark, but you should really go with your gut here on babies' intuition and babies' interest in food. So this could be as early as, honestly, 4 months old. And I know, like, if baby looks physically ready, like they can hold their head up, their eyeball on your food, maybe they're drooling and looking at it, but this can be anywhere from 4 to 6 months old. My son hasn't expressed interest in food up until recently. So I think we're going to make him some sweet potato and with a little bit of breast milk butter that my husband and I make. I'm planning on doing a reel on that. And so maybe I can post it. Yeah, usually I don't base it on a particular age. I base it on baby's interest. This next question comes from Loto21_. Did you start pumping when you got home from the hospital? So with a wall pump or an electric pump, no, I did not. So the first 3 weeks were really important for me to focus on breastfeeding and establishing breastfeeding and really nursing on demand. I would maybe rely on it once every now and again if I really felt engorged or overfull. But that first 3 weeks, I really didn't pump at all. And I would only collect milk using a haka or a boon trove, as you've seen in a lot of my videos. But I didn't really start establishing a pumping routine until way, way past establishing breastfeeding. This next question comes from Mommy Estrella. How can I increase my milk supply when I exclusively breastfeed but trying to pump for a freezer stash? This is a great question. So I think there's two parts of it here. So increasing milk supply and building a freezer stash. Honestly, I would introduce pumping after nursing. So if you want to start increasing your supply, the best thing you need to do is demand more milk from your body. And if you're exclusively breastfeeding, you always want to prioritize baby being fed. So I would pump every time after you breastfeed. So that basically maximizes the amount of time that baby will need to eat again. So you're just pulling any excess out of your body, and then that demands more milk from your body to create. So that should help you create an excess. In terms of nutrition, I always preach oats, flaxseed, leafy green vegetables, coconut water, electrolytes, water, water, water. Very helpful, but pumping ultimately is going to be the thing there. Like, you got to spend time pumping. Can you share your current breastfeeding and pumping schedule? Yes. So right now I have two schedules, one for the work week, so during the week, and then one on the weekends when I'm not working. So I work at home, very fortunate to be able to work at home. So when I'm home, I will pump in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning, around 4 or 5 a.m. And then I will breastfeed my son at 8 a.m. And then I will pump at between 11 and 12 p.m. I'll pump again at 3 p.m. And then I'll breastfeed baby before he goes to bed, so around 6 or 7. And then I will pump again before I go to bed around 10 o'clock. And so every time I say pump throughout the day, that's because baby's taking a bottle from Maurice, my husband. And so I always, during the week when I'm working, want to replace any time baby's being bottle fed with a pump. That way my body still feels like it's essentially nursing. And then on the weekends, I exclusively breastfeed my son, but I still do the pump before bed and first thing in the morning just to keep my supply going. And I know that's kind of annoying. That's really hard. It's really hard when baby starts sleeping through the night, but you still have to wake up and pump. It's one of the things that I despise most about about pumping and maintaining a milk supply is the pumping in the middle of the night or early in the morning in my case, but we'll work it out. This question comes from SummerRay_21. How do you lose weight without losing your supply? So honestly, I think this is, in my opinion, this is a myth that exercise and kind of getting back to an exercise routine is going to drop your supply. Now, I don't know too much about like rapid weight loss, which might have an impact on your supply, but just getting exercise and getting low impact exercise in to start kind of shedding the baby weight should not have an impact on your supply. And in fact, I encourage you to start getting, you know, steps in, start with walking. You know, I'm currently doing a challenge with my husband. We want to do 10,000 steps a day for 30 days because walking really is that it's the best way to get back into a routine. I would say start with low impact things. Don't try to, I hate that I'm going to use this term, boil the ocean. Start with low impact things. Do 5,000 steps, 10,000 steps a day and see how many days you can go. That way it'll be more of a gentle toll if exercise does take a toll on your milk supply. And just keep up with the other things that help maintain that as well. So your good nutrition and a solid pumping schedule. All right. So I think that's a good stop for a first episode for She is Radiant. Thank you so much for being here. I would love to close this out in prayer. I would love to pray for you wherever you are today. And I just consider you my sister if you're here. And I would love to say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity today to restart this podcast. Thank you for She Is Radiant. Thank you for my radiant sister who's listening to this on the other side, Lord. I ask that you please cover her and be with her and bless her abundantly, bless her family, bless her children, bless her and her goals and her dreams. And I ask that you please protect her from any harm and be with her with whatever she's doing today. Thank you so much for this great opportunity to be able to speak and build community here. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today in all of our radiance in our motherhood. I am truly blessed to call you my sister and to have you here with me today. It would mean the world to me if you would leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. And we hope to see you next time.